You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, on yesterday's show, I said I was going to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays today because they are currently 2 wins away from the World Series. I wanted to talk about how they got there and how they've embraced analytics. But Mike Puma of the New York Post wrote an amazing article that I had to talk about instead. Basically, it goes into Steve Cohen and his plans to bring analytics to the Mets and what the Mets had previously under the Wilpon. So in the first half of the show, I'll talk about the Wilpon era and where they've had their shortcomings when it comes to analytics and how Steve Cohen plans to change that. Then later on, in the second half of the podcast, I want to talk about one of the really great quotes that Puma had in this article where he referenced the Mets as potentially being the East Coast Dodgers. So I'll get into that and more. Before we get into any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsRiseOnline.com. So Mike Puma begins this article talking about motion capture software, which was introduced to the Mets in 2011 when it was still a relatively new concept. Essentially, this technology captures three-dimensional images that monitor pitchers and hitters and look at their mechanics. Basically, when you have a pitcher who is really doing well and suddenly the next month something's just completely off, instead of trying to dissect video yourself, you have these three-dimensional images, you have an analytical team working on it, and they can say, look, your front shoulder's flying open, that's why you're not getting the same break on your slider, or whatever it is. Also, teams have gone a step further and implemented this in the minor leagues, so as soon as a player is signed internationally or drafted, a database is built where they can monitor everything they've done throughout their career. When they've been successful in the minor leagues, they know this is what's working. If they start to struggle, they can compare and contrast. The Mets were offered a chance to implement this software back in 2011. Cameras were installed in Citi Field for a test trial. It was presented to team COO Jeff Wilpon for the price tag of $150,000. He said no thank you, because of course he did. Now, because of that, the Mets have basically been falling behind year after year. They have been trying to compete with teams that just simply have more information. And that's why you see a team like the Dodgers has sustained success, where a team like the Mets has their years where everything clicks and they make the playoffs, but there's overall struggling. That's also why you see a player like Travis d'Arnaud really struggles with the Mets, can't figure it out, goes to the Rays, takes off, okay? This is the way the game is played nowadays, and the Mets have been playing in a different league when it comes to analytics, and Steve Cohen plans on changing that. According to Puma sources, Cohen has told associates that he expects to lose $400 million on the team in his first 2 years as the new owner. A major league executive told Puma that while there are these other owners who are trying to save money, he's already spent money. So what's another $50 million to put together the best front office and infrastructure he can? This is huge. This is music to the ears of Mets fans. He is going to put his money where his mouth is, and that doesn't necessarily mean $400 million. Let's throw $200 million into the payroll this year, $200 million into the payroll next year. Let's just buy a championship. No, this is about sustained success. This is about looking at an analytical department where there's cobwebs and revamping it, hiring people. And that's not just hiring a JT Realmuto by signing him to a monster contract. It's taking an analytical department that has six people and tripling that to be competitive with the best teams in baseball that have analytical staffs that have 20 plus people. That is what the Mets are trying to do. They're trying to get ahead of all this, and it's going to take some time. They can't do this overnight. This first year, who knows if all of this is going to result in winning. But by year 2, 3, and 4, you are going to see the fruits of this labor, and that is a beautiful thing if you're a Mets fan. Another quote that Puma has in the article essentially talks about how Cohen, coming from Wall Street, is like these investors that will dominate the market during down periods and buy up all the stocks. That way, they can capitalize on it when the market turns around. He's already spent all this money to buy the team, and this is his chance to take advantage of a down market. That goes across the board. Let's look at the analytics side. Do you think that all of these teams who are losing money constantly have kept all of their staff employed? I'm sure there's been layoffs and furloughs, and they've been trying to get by with no revenue. Here comes Steve Cohen with job opportunities to bring these people into his front office and into his analytical department. That could also be the case for some top candidates for executive roles with the Mets. And then also, it could trickle into free agency, which I've talked about on a recent podcast, I believe last week, that you can check out, where I mentioned how this could be a buyer's market in free agency. Steve Cohen might not want to just throw all of his money into buying big-time free agents, but if the market is so down that he can capitalize and sign some team-friendly deals, he is going to give Sandy Alderson and whatever GM is hired the power to do that. And again, that's assuming Brody Van Wagenen is let go. Now, speaking of Sandy Alderson, he constantly pushed the Wilpons for technological upgrades and more analytics during his time as the Mets GM. Yet, all he was able to do is hire three people, basically. The Mets analytical staff in 2018 consisted of three employees. That number grew to six following the hiring of general manager Brody Van Wagenen. And if you remember, there was all this talk about a beefed up analytical team. They doubled their analytics staff. That goes from three to six. What are you even doing at that point? Does that really make that huge of a difference? I mean, I don't want to disparage the work of the three people that were brought in. But again, it is basically putting a Band-Aid over a bullet hole. You aren't following through with the money to invest in analytics. You are simply bringing in three new people to do a little bit more of the dirty work here and trying to get in a department off the ground and to try to get the information to the players that you want, but you still aren't actually putting investing into a system that can be sustainable for a long period of time. And there's a quote in the article where someone just calls them archaic. They were way behind the curve on all of this. And here is my favorite part of this information. The Mets had implemented a player-facing app on iPads that allowed players to prepare for an upcoming opponent, helping them share video, communicate with coaches, and analyze data. But the infrastructure wasn't there for this software to work properly. It started with the fact that they didn't have the information needed from the minor leagues into the major leagues to really take advantage of it. Also because there wasn't enough people in their staff to make up for this lack of information. And then here's my favorite part. Another issue that has bedeviled the organization. This is just a beautiful little snippet from the article. And I really do encourage you to read it yourself, by Mike Puma from the New York Post. So another issue that has bedeviled the organization is something as basic as an internal server that can support 30 players using their iPads simultaneously. Are you kidding me? So there was a point in the Mets dugout where J.D. Davis was trying to figure out what he could change in his swing after a really bad at bat, and he was due up the next inning, but unfortunately, you know, there was too many people on their iPads, and he couldn't get in. He had to wait until Pete Alonso was done to get on the server. How ridiculous is that? You're talking about a team that fans have invested in every single year, going to Citi Field when the team's winning, selling out that ballpark. Everyone's watching SNY. And this franchise was so financially inept and struggling after the Madoff scandal that they couldn't even get 30 players on an iPad at the same time in 2020. It is shocking. And honestly, it's almost upsetting when you see all of this and you see the competitive disadvantage the Mets were in, that Major League Baseball would never stepped in. The more we get information about the Wilpons and how they were running the team and what their books looked like, they should have been pushed out years ago. Yet they were allowed to continue to hold on to the team in hopes of some miracle that would have allowed them to be financially solvent and not have to let this team go. And now, finally, you're going to get a completely different situation with Steve Cohen. And according to Mike Puma's article, it could create a situation where the Mets become the quote-unquote Dodgers of the East. I want to talk about that and how this may affect their international spending in just a minute. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things, like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in there, "How'd you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So the final aspect of Cohen's infusion of capital on the Mets that is referenced in this great article by Mike Puma is spending in the international market. In years past, the Wilpons have, you know, constricted the budgets for how the Mets can spend on international talent, and this has led to them missing some opportunities on some great players. They have done well because Omar Minaya is great at identifying talent, and he has, along with his scouts, brought in some great players like Wilmer Flores, Juan Lagares, Andres Jimenez most recently. There has definitely been some international players that have helped the Mets, but the entire market has not been open to them. Let's first talk about the players that come over from Cuba. Yoenis Cespedes, Yasiel Puig, Yoan Moncada. There's a lot of guys that have come over. Yuli Gurriel for the Astros, that have been out there that could be signed, and the Wilpons have not allowed their GMs to go out and get those big ticket international free agents. Another avenue is the market from Japan and players coming from Japan or Korea. Since Kaz Matsui, I can't think of any big time free agent that's come over and played for the Mets. And yes, Kaz Matsui was kind of a disaster, but that was the last time they really spent. And of course, that was pre-Madoff. So this influx in capital goes across the board, and it opens up every single avenue to draw talent into the Mets organization. And that's how you find a sustained model for success. Let's talk about the Dodgers. Kenta Maeda, Hyunjin Ryu, Yasiel Puig. They have had the international market open to them, and they've done well in a lot of different areas to make them perennial contenders in the National League. And that's why this nickname of East Coast Dodgers, that's why it's so intriguing, right? Because you see the Dodgers, and while they haven't won a World Series, they have been uber successful over the past decade. And particularly since Andrew Friedman took over as the president of baseball operations after they lost in the NLDS in 2014. And I actually talked about Friedman on yesterday's show. He came over from the Rays and was asked to build out a better farm system so they didn't have to rely on free agency to succeed. They didn't have to be the Yankees of the past where they just go out and have a $3 million payroll, try to win that way. Instead, Freeman has brought that Rays mentality to the Dodgers, and they have won the division every season under him, and they have a .606 winning percentage, 528 wins over the last, what is that, five seasons? They made the NLCS four times, or six seasons, actually. I'm looking at it. They made the NLCS four times during his 6 years. They went to the World Series twice, and they could again go to the World Series this year. The only time they didn't make the NLCS was in 2015 against the Mets and last year against the Nationals, two teams that went on to go to the World Series. The Mets, over that same period of time, have been two games over 500, and they've had three good years in there, but it hasn't been sustained. They haven't won over 90 games every year like the Dodgers. They haven't won the division every year like the Dodgers. They just have not been nearly as successful. Being the East Coast Dodgers isn't necessarily showtime and the bright lights and star power. While that comes over time, if you look at the Dodgers, a lot of their team right now is built through their farm system. Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May, Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager. All these guys were homegrown talent, or they have gone out and found hidden gems like Max Muncy or Justin Turner and turned them into star players. So I think what Steve Cohen and this $14 billion of net worth means for the Mets, it doesn't necessarily mean luxury tax and $275 million payrolls that blow away the sport and make the Mets the top buyer or spender in free agency every year. Instead, it's about being a state-of-the-art franchise that can compete with the upper echelon of all the major league teams in every single avenue. Internationally, in the regular amateur draft, in developing talent, in fostering a winning culture from the bottom to the top. This is what I want to see with the Mets moving forward, and they're no doubt in much better hands than they have been over the past decade with Jeff Wilpon running the show. It's just that simple. We all still anxiously await the approval from the other owners that Steve Cohen will take over as the Mets majority owner in the coming weeks. I'm guessing they're waiting until after the World Series to vote on that. We're in the championship round right now. Let's hope for sweeps across the board. Get this season over with, and let's move on to 2021, because that's where baseball is really going to pick up for this organization, and I am just very happy for all you Mets fans who have continued to stick it out through all of these years of turmoil. That'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. Looks like we can get into the Rays tomorrow, unless Mike Puma or someone else writes an article I just had to talk about. We'll talk about what has put Tampa in this place to be on the precipice of a World Series despite a very limited payroll. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.